Suscepimus Deus misericordiam tuam in medio templi tui. We have received thy mercy, O God, in the midst of thy temple. It is essential to our well-being to know what this mercy that we have received from God is and to live accordingly. It is a matter of life and death. So, with the grace of God, let us try to understand and appreciate this great gift that we have received. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. The first gift which God has given us is our creation. He has created us in his image and likeness, endowing us with intellect and free will, by which we can know and love the beauty and goodness of his creation, and by which we can recognize that God is the supreme Lord of all that exists. In consequence of this gift, we owe God thanksgiving and adoration, recognizing that all that we are and that all that we have come from him and belong to him. It is most important to realize that because he created us, God has complete rights over us. That is why we call him Lord. And that is why it is right and orderly to do whatever he wants us to do, completely submitting our wills to his will, recognizing his legitimate authority over us. The world refuses this fundamental truth. In its hateful pride, the world refuses to recognize God as creator and Lord. The world would have us believe that God has no real authority over us, that we owe him nothing, and that we should do whatever we want independently of God. But this is contrary to our Catholic faith and contrary to right reason. It is written in the sacred scriptures, "The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve." We adore God by recognizing that he is infinitely superior to us, infinitely better than we are. And by submitting and offering our will and our whole being to him, because we depend entirely on him, and we only exist because he wants us to exist. He is truly our Lord and Master. He owns us and has complete rights over us, more so than we have rights over the things that we own. Everyone agrees that we can truly own things, and the things that we own we can use as we see fit. No one denies this. But the things that we own, we either receive them from someone else, or we made them or acquired them with pre-existing materials that we received from someone else. But God has received nothing. No one gave God anything. Instead, he created everything out of nothing so that all things absolutely belong to him, so he can do with them however he sees fit. So God has complete rights over us, his little creatures, and it is our duty and obligation to submit ourselves to his will and serve him by doing whatever he wants us to do. But this fundamental truth is only the beginning. God is and always will be our Lord and Master, and we will always be his creatures and servants, and we must never forget. But now we come to the second great gift that God has given us, which is baptism. At baptism, God recreated us with a new nature by which we can know and love him not only as Creator and Lord, but as our Father who loves us and communicates to us a participation in his very own nature of knowing and loving himself in infinite happiness in the Blessed Trinity. It is true that being created in the image of God, capable of knowing and loving immaterial things, we were elevated above all other creatures. But by sanctifying grace, which we received at baptism, we have been elevated infinitely higher still, all the way to participating in the very nature of God. He has generated us into his own divine life so that we are truly sons of God. This is the great mercy and charity of God for which we thank and praise him. In the epistle which we just read, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. To live according to the flesh is to live as if we were not baptized children of God, endowed with faith, hope, and charity, by which we are united to God, our Father. To live according to the flesh is to live as if the only thing that mattered was material reality, as if the only thing that existed was what we can see with our bodily eyes. To live according to the flesh is to allow all of the affections and desires of the lower nature of the body, is to follow all of these affections, which has been greatly disordered by original sin, such that our bodily appetites are no longer subject to our reason, to our spirit. Our spirit is that part of us which is immaterial, which we cannot see. It is our intellect and our free will, by which we are images of God, capable of knowing and loving immaterial reality. At baptism, we were elevated to divine life so that we could be able to live according to the Spirit of God Himself, His intellect and His will, living as God lives, knowing and loving as He knows and loves. But if we live as the worldlings do who are not baptized, we will lose this great grace of the divine life of sanctifying grace. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. This is the spiritual death. If we are living as they do, the worldlings who have no faith to know God as Father, no hope to one day possess the inheritance of eternal happiness with Him, no charity to love God as Father and intimate friend, then we are living according to the flesh. Those who live according to the flesh are ruled by their passions and whims and not by their reason. They prefer the goods and pleasures of this world, which must pass away. The epistle continues, "But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we are faithful to our vocation as adopted sons of God, then we shall retain the divine life in our souls, and we shall grow in perfection of the knowledge and love of God until we come to our final destination. In order to do this, we must be led by the Spirit of God. This is exactly what we pray for in the Collect today. Graciously grant, O Lord, the Spirit to think and do always such things as are rightful. The things that are rightful are those things which lead to a greater knowledge and love of God. But the deeds of the flesh lead us away from God into spiritual death. We mortify the deeds of the flesh by preferring the spiritual life over the bodily life. Saint Paul is urging us to dominate our lower appetites and use the bodily goods as only a means to an end, and not be dominated by them, but instead dominate them. This is impossible without grace. And so we rejoice, and we give thanks to God because He has given us a superabundance of grace, and He has liberated us from the slavery of sin by baptizing us in the death of His Son. As children of God, we can pass through this world using temporal goods with moderation, without being attached to them, but being free to love God and prefer Him always and above all things. The more we deny ourselves the satisfaction of appeasing our lower appetite, the more we are free to lift our minds to God and to love others, which is true happiness. This war against the flesh is nothing new. It has been common to the whole human race since the fall of our first parents. There is no secret. Those who fight and persevere with the grace of God will infallibly have the victory. We no longer live in the spirit of fear, like under the old law, which was not powerful to effect the change that they needed to live according to the Spirit. But we live in the spirit of love and confidence as free children of God. Since the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and since our baptism, we have a superabundance of means to overcome all of our enemies, and especially self-love. we can approach with confidence the sacraments, especially the sacraments of penance and Holy Eucharist, being assured that we will receive the necessary aid to live according to the will of God. In these sacraments, we have all the strength we need to be united to our Lord, to live according to right reason, and in accordance with the grace that God has given us. One of the most effective means of cooperating with this grace of the sacraments and of mortifying our flesh is to accept with patience all of the little trials which God sends us every day in the accomplishment of the duties of our state in life. We do not have to invent great penances to become saints. We just have to accept the will of God in every little thing which He allows to happen to us and which we cannot control. This is a perfect way to deny ourselves and to put to death our self-love. Because all of these little trials we do not choose. God chooses them for us. But when we choose our own penances, we risk to fall again into self-love and pride. Also, another means, powerful means of mortifying our flesh so that we can live more fully the Spirit of God, we must be faithful in our daily spiritual exercises, which might annoy us, like putting ourselves in the presence of God to pray. Also, consistency in our morning and evening prayers, daily examination of conscience, and the act of contrition. Daily rosary, which we might find hard to do, but this is most pleasing to Our Lady. By faithfully accomplishing all of these spiritual actions, we mortify the life of the flesh, which wars against the life of the spirit. We all have this experience of two forces pulling us apart. We know we want to pray and be with God, but the other side of us wants to do something else. The more generous we are in this war, the quicker we will advance in love of God and of our neighbor, being able to forget ourselves, and the quicker we will come to that perfection which our Lord desires of us, that true happiness and peace in union with Him. We are the sons of God and therefore heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we continue to fight, then we are assured of the inheritance of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This glory of our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect knowledge and love of the Trinity in eternal bliss. Here below, we only have a little taste of this life of perfect bliss. We can taste it by the acts of the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. But the more we detach ourselves from the pleasures of this world, the more we can taste and see how sweet God is by making these acts, essential acts of the divine life, of faith, hope, and charity. We come to truly experience that God is better than anything else, better than everything we see in this world, more delightful and everlasting. All of these things which delight us here below will pass away. The man who puts his hope in God is already happy. He has all he wants because he has God. And he passes through this life without attaching himself to creatures, but waits for the fulfillment of the promise to one day possess God perfectly and eternally. This is the reality of our adoption as children of God. This is the source of our hope and our happiness. We are not free from suffering, but we are at peace in our suffering, and we can even suffer with joy. Let us especially ask Our Lady for help in accepting and living this vocation as Christians, brothers in Christ, and children of God, because from the very beginning, Our Lady was perfect in cooperating with this grace of God and in living perfectly according to His will. She was perfectly led by the Spirit of God. She was a perfect child of God, trusting Him and believing in Him without hesitation. She desires so much that we do the same. And she will undoubtedly help us if we become her trusting children. Those who are children of Mary are children of God. And those who have the Spirit of Mary have the Spirit of God, because she was perfectly docile to the Holy Spirit. If we have Our Lady's Spirit, wanting and desiring what she wants and desires, we will certainly be perfect children of God. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.